There are hundreds of businesses throughout the United States. Some of them are small mom-and-pop shops, while others are large global corporations. You may think you know the stories of these companies, but the truth behind them is stranger than you might think. In the podcast from Wondery, Business Wars, host David Brown gives you behind-the-scenes access into boardrooms and offices of some of the biggest companies in America. You'll hear about the epic business battles like movie rental giant Blockbuster versus a little upstart called Netflix. You'll hear about the burger battle between McDonald's and Burger King and the soda wars between Coke and Pepsi. You're about to hear a preview of Business Wars, in which you'll meet host David Brown and hear about the battle for race car supremacy between Ferrari and Lamborghini. These two giants of speed would shape the luxury sports car market for years to come. And while you're listening, go subscribe to Business Wars on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening now. There's also a link in the episode notes that will take you there. It's a really fun show that you're going to love.
It is September 10th, 1961. A wall of spectators form along the edge of the Monza racetrack in Italy, one of the most brutal and high-speed circuits in the world. Two racing drivers are speeding over 100 miles per hour. They're battling for position around a 180-degree corner called the Parabolica. Behind the wheel of a red Ferrari is Wolfgang von Trips, a West German count, while Jimmy Clark of Scotland floors a lime-green Lotus. As they enter the turn, they're one behind the other, fighting for position. Their wheels touch.
Then in the second lap, approaching the curve on the inner section of the road circuit, it happened.
The cars spin. The German count is nicknamed Crash because of his tendency to wreck his car, but he has never spewed debris like this. His Ferrari cartwheels up a grass embankment and plows through a fence and into a crowd of spectators. Dust and debris form a cloud around the crash site, obscuring the horror within. Racing stewards come running. Soon, medics are on the scene. How many are dead? No one can say. Not yet. But the race goes on. At the end of the day, Phil Hill of California wins the race in a Ferrari. He becomes the first American to win the Formula One World Championship, the most celebrated race title in the world. As he gets out of his Ferrari, he asks about his teammate, Crash von Trips.
And Trips, is he dead?
The Ferrari team boss lowers his eyes and pauses before ushering Hill forward.
Come on. They want you for the award ceremony.
Von Trips is dead, and so are more than a dozen spectators he plowed into. The next morning, the founder and boss of Ferrari Cars, Enzo Ferrari, remains secluded behind his factory gates in Maranello, about a two-hour drive from the Monza racetrack. Ferrari is a man so reclusive, he does not attend races, even though his red racing cars are the most famous in the world. Like thousands of others, he saw the crash on television. He stares at the headline in the morning newspaper. 15 dead from the tragedy at Monza. The investigation has begun at the Autodrome. His team has just won a world championship, but at what cost? From Wondery, I'm David Brown, and this is Business Wars. Revving up a new three-part series, Ferrari versus Lamborghini. This is a rivalry that's fought over decades with speed, engineering, and the most outrageous automobiles ever to roll down a road, in the showroom, on the racetrack, even on movie screens. But it begins with an argument between a famed car maker and his wealthy client, a blow-up that has become truly legendary in the world of motoring. This is Episode 1, The Gauntlet. Enzo Ferrari has been through this before. Lining the walls of his office are framed portraits of drivers killed while racing his cars. He has been criticized many times for caring more about his cars than the men who race them. Even the Vatican weighed in to scold Ferrari after one particularly bad crash in 1957 during Italy's Mille Miglia, a 1,000-mile race run on cordoned off public roads in Italy. 12 spectators were killed, plus a famous Ferrari racing driver who was severed in two in the process. Now, this time, 14 spectators are dead. The whole world is stunned by the news. A flood of newspaper editorials call for an end to racing and limits on the car's speed. Ferrari is under attack. At the company factory, Ferrari's employees are feeling the pressure. Years of dealing with Enzo Ferrari's arrogance and the stress of building the world's greatest race cars have worn them thin. Over the next days, petty arguments and resentments finally explode into full-scale rebellion, like a tire blowing out. A handful of Ferrari's most important employees quit. Ferrari engineer Giotto Bizzarrini is among the deserters. He is disgusted with the company's inertia and furious with the Ferrari family. Bizzarrini has long dreamed of outdoing his old boss. What better revenge could he find than to join a company that could build a better car than the Ferrari? To join forces with a new leader. Little does he know, he'll find that man just 20 miles away, a young manufacturer of tractors and air conditioners who has never built a car. Not yet. His name? Ferruccio Lamborghini. The departure of Bizzarrini and several fellow Ferrari engineers in 1961 becomes known as the Palace Revolt. It's about to ignite one of the most exciting rivalries in all of automotive history. By 1961, the 64-year-old Enzo Ferrari has created a unique empire by indulging his mania for motor racing. Once a racer himself, he quit early on. Some say he had a nervous breakdown because of the sport's violence, though Ferrari himself disputes this story. He claims it was the birth of his first child, Dino, in 1932 that convinced him to stop racing. During World War II, Ferrari builds his factory in the rural town of Maranello. When the war is over, he launches his company, building road cars and selling them to fabulously rich men. His hand-built road cars soon become known as the most exotic vehicles money can buy. Beautifully crafted sculptures of metal, glass, leather, and rubber, packing racing engines. Princes and celebrities wait for hours outside Ferrari's office door, hoping he'll agree to sell them one of his cars. But for Ferrari, these sleek road cars are just a way to fund his lust for exceptional racing machines. It's 1962, 1 year after the Ferrari Palace Revolt. One of the company's wealthy customers, Ferruccio Lamborghini, arrives at the factory. The impetuous young man designs tractors and manufactures air conditioners in Bologna. Lamborghini is a strong-willed businessman in a finely cut suit and tie with thick-framed black spectacles. He loves cars and owns the most coveted machinery in the world, including two Ferrari cars. A porter stands by the factory gate. Behind the gate sits Enzo Ferrari's office, a simple two-story red brick building with the name Ferrari spelled out in bold letters. Ferrari likes to watch the gates to see who's coming and going. Lamborghini is shown into the office. One of his very expensive Ferraris is not operating properly.
"I'm very unhappy, Enzo. The clutch on my new Ferrari is broken."
Enzo Ferrari builds world championship racing cars, and that has fueled a strong streak of hubris. He refuses to believe there's anything wrong with the Ferrari he sold to Ferruccio Lamborghini.
"The clutch is not the problem. The problem is you don't know how to drive a Ferrari, and you break the clutch."
Lamborghini is incensed.
"Signor Ferrari, it is not me that's the problem. It's your cars. No one else has had this problem. Only you. Maybe you need a lesson in operating it." "It's the car, I tell you. And you know what? I'll never buy your cars again. Maybe from now on I'll make my own cars, and they'll work the way I want them to.
Enzo folds his arms and grits his teeth. The gall of this man.
My cars will be better than the Ferrari. So much better, I will build the perfect car.